Do you think I could be a bikini barista? No. Oh, no, hold on. Let me be more clear. Do you think I could wear a mankini?
What is a mankini? Is it like the Borat thing where it's just like the thong coming up and covers your nipples?
Yeah.
You could wear that and see if that's a successful business endeavor. That's what I'm
wondering. Like how much, like, I guess my question isn't whether I'd be successful. I think we both know.
Both know, obviously.
How successful do you think I would be?
You could definitely quit your day job. For sure.
Probably quit now is what you're saying.
And yeah. I think, I mean, it would obviously be more successful than this podcast. Welcome to Subscurity, the podcast about obscure subcultures. I'm Brenna.
And I'm Jordan. And today we're talking about bikini baristas. So you worked in food service in a previous life.
Yes, for a very long time.
Is it true that in the food service, restaurant, whatever you want to call it, industry, everyone be banging?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Yes. On 100%.
Tell me more.
I think I most starkly noticed it when
you dated a coworker.
Well, I mean, I don't hook up with a couple, but I think what I mean, I always knew hookup culture was big. And when I was in high school and college, you know, it definitely happened. But what I distinctly remember really noticing the stark contrast was when I first moved to Seattle and I got my, you know, first corporate job, but I was working in finance. So my hours were on the East Coast hours. So I was working like 6 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Right.
And a normal person might find a hobby. And I was like, I'll get another job. And so Jesus Christ.
And you were making decent money, right?
Yes.
Like enough to live on.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, and I had roommates. But this was actually like 20 grand a year. I mean,
that's not bad. Yeah.
And it helped.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I would work at the restaurant in evenings, like part time. And I remember distinctly just the contrast was so interesting to me because our office, especially at that time, was really buttoned up.
It was very East Coast.
Very East Coast, very buttoned up, very polished, professional, no gossip, no drama.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I would live for someone to hook up at work here. And then you go to the restaurant and like everyone's banging each other and there's so much gossip and everyone would tell me the gossip and you couldn't keep up with it. So I distinctly remember that was always kind of the dichotomy experiencing it literally back to back some days was, it just always made me really think of it. And also made me think about, you know, just comparing and contrasting what I liked about both the jobs, right?
On the one hand, I'm getting paid well. On the other hand, I can bang people.
On the other hand, I can have lots of sex.
Yeah.
But the other thing that I just noticed, and I mean, it's probably obvious, but I did think about it, is what I do miss about working in the restaurant industry is that people are so social. Like, people will hang out. Like, they'll go, you know, after you work, you go out and get a drink and people hang out and there's like this really friendly environment and you become friendly with your coworkers. I think
it's
a lot faster.
Culture,
it's a very different culture.
Yeah.
And I also like being on my feet and interacting with people. But then on the other hand, like some of the bullshit you have to deal with, like, yes, you have to deal with bullshit in office jobs, but like annoying fucking customers, like, I don't know, just stupid fucking shit in the restaurants and like sexual harassment also kind of rampant. Got someone fired.
What? Tell me more.
I didn't get the person fired, but I was interviewed and then he was fired. Someone else raised a concern about him. And then people asked, basically, it was a guy who worked in the kitchen. He would always, like, he made me uncomfortable because he would, like, corner me when I was alone at night.
Right. He'd find those times to get you by yourself.
Yeah, I'd either be in the office or the walk-in, and he'd get, like, really close and just kind of corner and ask what I was doing. Mm. And I'd always just maneuver out. And apparently he tried to kiss one of the servers. And he was a married man, by the way.
Sure. Why wouldn't he be?
Naturally. Oh, everyone cheats. Like, honestly, the other thing is, it really, like, diminish my faith in humanity because so many people like cheated on their partners, even like people I thought were like good people and wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
But anyway, coming back to the sexual harassment story, I wasn't sexually harassed, but it was like uncomfortable. And so he made a pass to this girl. She said something to management. And so they started interviewing the women and asked, you know, if they had had uncomfortable experiences with him. And I was like, Yeah. I mean, nothing ever happened, but it was just palpably uncomfortable, right? You know, right. There's a line kind of being crossed, even if he didn't do anything explicit. So after they had interviewed everybody, then he got fired. And I right. also remember they didn't handle well. Well, why didn't you tell us about it?
Like, right.
Fucking victim blaming. Not yeah. that I'm like, I mean, on the scale of the, whatever, but, yeah, that's how not to handle. Why did, yeah. well, because I didn't know if I was crazy and all these things you second guess yourself.
You were like 22 or yeah. something. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
What about customers? I mean, you were a server? Hostess?
Hostess. What? Hostess. I worked in the kitchen at a pizza place and I was a front girl.
Front girl.
Yeah.
Is that what they, was that the, like, that was your job title?
It was front girl. Yes.
Nice. Like, did, I mean, would you say you were flirtatious with customers, like especially for tips or anything like that? Bubbly?
No, I honestly think for my, like some people really are. I think for myself in high school, I was super awkward, so I wouldn't have known what to do. And then I also was kind of a late bloomer in that I think I became, this is sound weird, but I think I like grew into my looks a lot more in college in that I noticed I got a lot more attention and I felt prettier. And
if it helps, I don't think you are, so
suck my dick. but customers would hit on me, but I think I like,
yeah, it was, how do you handle that?
It was so new to me at the time. Yeah. Like, cause I don't know, like, let's say like, seriously, really like 20, maybe 20 is when I started growing into my looks, or 21. And
what does that mean, by the way?
I don't know, like starting to feel pretty, I think, like okay. lose some baby fat on the face or sure. something, but
get
like
boobs.
Still don't have that. That never happened.
God, are you listening?
God, are you listening? I just want B cups. I do have B cups, by the way, if anyone's wondering. Should have asked for C's. but anyway, where was I going? Oh, so I think, you know, working in the restaurant, yeah, people would hit on me all the time. And I think because I wasn't someone who was hit on like all throughout high school and all throughout college, like it did happen in college, but in a different way that everyone's kind of young and awkward about it versus an right. older, mature person, like clearly hitting on you. I just didn't know how to, it kind of took hook me by surprise, I yeah. guess is what I'm getting at. And there's one story I distinctly remember when I was working in the restaurant here in Seattle, and I was walking back down to the host stand and this man walks in and he was probably, I'm not kidding, 50s. Mm-hmm. And he goes, "Oh my God." He goes, "You are the most beautiful person I've ever seen."
Oh, so his eyesight wasn't good.
He literally, I was like, "Oh,
How do you respond to that?
Like, I was like, "Oh, thank you." And so I was like, "Okay, whatever." It was him and his friend. And so I take him to the table and I was like, "Are you guys just visiting?" They're like, "Yeah, we're just visiting." And I was like, "Oh, is it, you know," I was like, "Is it business or pleasure?" They're like, "Pleasure." And I go, "Are you like, have you seen the sights?" And then he goes, "You mean besides you?"
Nice.
And I was like,
that's a 50-year-old silver fox smooth dude right there. Yeah.
And then to wrap it all up, you know, whatever, it's a brief interaction because I'm yeah. deceiving them, right? But to wrap it all up, when he left, he came up to me. He gave me his business card. He was like, "I'm serious. I think you are the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. I'm a CEO of whatever company. And if you ever want to contact me, here you go." I don't know what he did, but he lived in like Montana. So okay. That could have been my sugar daddy moment.
Yeah.
And I fucking missed out on it.
Do you regret it?
A little.
I mean, you've joked about that a lot too, right? Like not in that specific event, but you know, using your feminine wiles for money within some degree of...
Yes.
With some degree of...
You mean owning my sexuality?
Yeah, however you want to define it. Like, how serious would you say you are?
Where are we going? Oh, serious what?
Like, are you serious enough to consider becoming a bikini barista, maybe?
Oh, are we talking about bikini baristas?
I knew you would love this.
Yes, I love it.
Yeah.
Can I tell a quick story?
Yes, I know what story you're going to tell. Yeah, go ahead.
Have I told you this one?
I'm pretty sure. Because is it self-flattering?
No.
Okay, then never mind.
I don't think so.
Yeah, every story you ever tell usually involves
usually
how great
pretty
you are.
Self-flattering.
Yeah.
So my now ex, I didn't know like bikini baristas were a thing until I moved to Washington.
Because
I think.
They're from Seattle.
Because yeah, they're...
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait.
It's a good episode. I promise.
So there are a lot of drive-through coffee stands here. Some are just regular, but there are a lot of bikini baristas.
I'm just going to give you my notes so you can do the whole show.
Do you want me to host this? Yeah. And I don't know, one day we were going on a hike or something, going somewhere, my boyfriend at the time, and I was like, oh, I want coffee. Can you pull in that shop? And he's like, that's a bikini barista. I was like, oh, okay, let's go. And he's like, are you sure? Yeah. And I was like, yes. And so we pull up and yeah, she's, you know, in her bikini and she's like super flirty with both of us. And it's just kind of bizarre, right? Because I think we're kind of early in the relationship. And I think there's that dynamic of,
it's like going cool to a strip club with your significant other.
Yeah, you're just like, it's just a little awkward, right? Yeah. Like, I don't care, but I think there's the tension of just, is this cool? And she's like, it's such a beautiful day out. There's not a cloud in the sky.
Typical Seattle accent.
Typical, she was Midwest.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of like super bizarre. I think probably because we were both like a tiny bit uncomfortable, but that must happen like fairly frequently. Where they have awkward interactions. Oh, I do know my other story.
Yeah, I was waiting for this. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, go ahead. Start patting yourself on your back now.
Okay, that's right. a few years back, this was before I had a car. I took a bus up to visit one of our close friends. And usually what happened is she would come pick me up from like very close to her. But it was like the bus dropped me off within a mile of their house.
Was basically. It up here? Snohomish?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
I
dropped
bet
me
I
off
the stand. Yeah.
Within a mile of the house. So I'd wait in the parking lot across the street for her to come pick me up. And there was like a Goodwill and a bikini barista.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I was just sitting, she was running late, I think. And so I was just sitting behind the bikini barista place. And one of the women comes out and I start chatting. We start chatting. And she's like, have you ever considered being a barista? And I was like, oh, I was once. I wore all my clothes. But yeah, she thought I could be a bikini barista.
Yeah. I'm just...
Even with these B cups, baby.
God. Never mind.
Are you going to regret?
I'm starting to. Yeah. So maybe we should tell our audience what a bikini barista is in case they're unfamiliar.
And in case it isn't apparent by the title, you should tell it because I've been taking a lot of verbal real estate.
No,
here.
I assumed this was kind of like when we did the Reddit mods episode. It was your topic, but you knew I was going to never shut up about it.
Yeah.
So, I thought you might have a lot to say about this one. So a bikini barista is a woman who works as a barista, preparing and serving coffee beverages while dressed in scanty attire such as a bikini, lingerie, or a crop top combined with bikini bottoms or hot pants.
I like that very technical description.
I'm reading it straight from Wikipedia. It's also known as sexpresso or bearista.
Never heard of that.
And according to Wikipedia, which I'm taking as gospel because I didn't follow the links behind it,
naturally,
it originated in Seattle in the early 2000s, although it has appeared in other countries. So I should say it originated in Seattle.
Within the U.S.
Within the U.S. domestically. But outside of the country, it's been seen in places like Chile and Japan since at least the 1980s.
It's that recent in the U.S., though, the 2000s? I guess I thought it would have gone back.
1999.
You said in the 2000s. So.
Well, Wikipedia said in the 2000s, but then it also says the Naughty Latte, the first location for that opened in November 1999. I guess technically they didn't wear hot pants though until 2001. So that was kind of the first Seattle instance of it. It was followed in 2003 by Cowgirls Espresso. And then a few months after, it was called Cowgirls Espresso. I think it was just Pretty Girls in general, more of a, and we'll touch a little bit on this, more of a Hooters, right? Like clothed, maybe suggestive, but clothed. And then apparently in 2003, there was I don't remember this, but there was a strong summer heat that year. And basically employees at the stand suggested they adopt Bikini Wednesday.
Amazing.
to help themselves keep cool. And as it turned out, sales went through the roof.
You don't say.
Yeah. And that then spread this concept of bikini baristas, which, as we've said, features attractive young women dressed in attire such as bikinis, lingerie, stockings, and heels.
Although, let's be real, they're not always attractive.
And they're not always really wearing bikinis. bikinis is often a very like suggestive word for the thin material that is there. And by thin material, I mean sometimes just pasties.
Separate story. Our mutual friend who actually lives very close to here, she used to go to a drive-through coffee like pretty much every day, every other day after dropping her kid off. And then one day she goes as normal. It was just a regular coffee stand. And one day she goes through and there's this woman there with her tits out. And she just has pasties, like big fake tits out and has pasties on. And she was just kind of baffled. And like clearly the woman could tell. And she's like, are you uncomfortable? I can cover up. And she's like, no, I just didn't know you had switched to a bikini brewery. I just wasn't expecting it. Yeah. So they had just like switched ownership or something.
Yeah.
And so she's like, I always don't have a problem. But yeah, she's like, I just wasn't expecting to see boobs at my in my face at like 7 a.m.
So Seattle, like it is such in Seattle. When I say Seattle, for people not from the region, when we say Seattle, we really mean like the larger metropolitan area, which covers.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, so in the Seattle area, it's so ubiquitous. I'm going to, this is our new favorite word, but it's so ubiquitous that barista stands often have to advertise themselves as family friendly,
yes.
Right? It's as opposed to like advertising this as a bikini barista, you kind of have to do the opposite because you almost expect that these little, like, I mean, they're tiny, right? They're like the size, like maybe like four porta potties put together in terms of like size, right?
They're really small.
And it's just a drive up window. And the bikini barista ones are always, so that the window that you drive up to is facing away from the street usually. Yeah. And it's, you know, a little bit of hard to see until you get up to the window. Like just, it's very, very clearly
like a little strip club,
like a little, or, yeah, a peep show
VIP room. Basically.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I've never been to a strip club, but I believe you. But I have been to bikini barista stand as of last week when I went to go do real research for this episode.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No.
What did you tell your wife?
I told her. I was like, is this okay? And she said yes, which is clearly shows the amount of like concern she has for me strain.
This is hilarious. Yeah. Like, I wish I could have witnessed this. Why
didn't
you record it?
Well, there's a couple reasons. So let me tell you how this happened for me. So I knew I was going to do the episode. I was like, for the first fucking time in my life, I'm going to do real research. Big sacrifice. And now going to go see titties. Mm. It's a hard decision to make, but I decided to do it for our listeners. So
for the journalistic integrity.
Yeah, I'm trying to do a good job. So like you would expect, I opened up a Google search window and typed bikini barista into Google Maps. And I found a very, like, Google returned a very highly rated, you know, barista stand, 4.9 stars, not far from me. In fact, it was on the way back from my son's daycare. So I thought to myself, perfect. I will drop him off in the morning and swing back down there.
Good thing to do it after. Yeah, you dropped him off.
Yeah, I didn't. Well, so, okay, a separate story. My son's old daycare, one of our, like, friends from that daycare, she's not from around here originally, so she's new to the area, and she didn't know about bikini baristas either, and she went to a coffee stand with her toddler in the car, and she was exposed to a fully naked woman.
Amazing.
And she was like, she was in complete shock. Now, she wasn't, again, like our friend, she wasn't upset, but she just is not something you,
not
expect,
what you expect
to see.
Yeah, right? And like, tits in my face at 8 a.m., huh?
Right.
Right.
Goal in my life generally, but not expected. Yeah. So I, you know, and I talked to my wife about this like a week or two before, right? Just to make sure it was like all clear. And then we had to talk about it again. So that morning last week or whenever it was, I dropped my kid off and then I go swing towards the stand. Now it's a bikini barista stand. So it's, let's say, on a seedier highway, mm-hmm. right? Not in the more family friendly suburban area. It's a little bit in a place that maybe you don't always want to drive. And at 8 in the morning, I'm not too concerned about it. But, you know, a little unsafe area. My wife, who is a little too over-concerned about me sometimes, notices I'm gone extra long.
More worried about the area you're in than the fact
and
that you're going to look at
boobs. She sees on my Find My Phone, right? Like, she's tracking my location. She can see I'm, like, in the middle of a place I probably... She doesn't expect me to be. And she's calling me as I'm driving up to the stand. She's like, where are you? Like, what's happening? I'm like, oh, I'm just going to go see a bikini barista stand. She's like, okay, cool. And she hangs up. So we're really going to go pretty good. So I pull up to the window. I'm a little nervous. Again, for context, I've never been to a strip club, right? Like, my experience with naked women has been... People I've dated or hooked up with, or the internet, right?
And the woman you nursed from.
Let's. Wow.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
that's awful.
Okay, and also, isn't it like at a strip club? Obviously, you're looking. But the other weird thing, I think, if they're like, especially in pasties, obviously the point is to admire.
Oh, I'm going to get there. Yeah, 100%.
It's obviously the point is to admire their body, but you also don't want to be so overt and just creepy and just staring at their boobs.
Believe me, this is, yes, all this is about, yeah, you're about to feel my whole weird experience happen. So I pull up to the stand. I breathe in and I deliberately look to my left, and there is a fully clothed 40-year-old woman. cheerily serving coffee. And I'm like, well, Google, you've misled me. So, you know, at that point, I'm like, wow, this is not what I was here for.
So but I'll take, you don't even drink coffee. I don't even drink coffee. What were you
going to order? I ordered hot chocolate.
Fucking baby.
Let me tell you, it was a good hot chocolate.
Use breast milk on it.
God damn it. So it was like a $2.50 hot cocoa, right? It wasn't bad. And it tasted pretty good. So I left satisfied. So then I pull out of the espresso stand and I search for another one. I'm a little more explicit this time of like what I'm looking for.
Show me some titties, yeah. Internet.
Yeah. And I find something that I feel a little more confident in. So I drive up, this time there's this big, like, this next stand I go to, there's this big, construction vehicle, like van, right? So I'm thinking, oh boy, here's like a, every stereotype is going through my head at this point. And then I look in the, I can't see into the barista stand itself, but I can see the rearview mirror of the car in front of me, this construction van. And it's like the stereotypical 50-year-old construction woman.
Oh,
I was shocked.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, and I don't like, in no way do I mean this to sound demeaning, but she was like, she looked like a strong person. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, well-built person.
Yeah.
She clearly does not give a shit about like whatever is happening inside the stand. She's
getting
like,
my fucking
she's on
coffee.
Her phone. She's like not paying attention, right? So I'm just like, what is happening here? She's there for a couple minutes, and she finally clears out and just kind of loops around. And so I pull up, and yes, it's as advertised. There is a college-aged woman in a very near nothing bikini, and she's immediately uncomfortably over the top flirtatious.
Okay.
Right.
I thought you were going to say uncomfortable. I was like, shouldn't she know?
No, uncomfortably flirtatious. I was uncomfortable because what are you up to, sweetie? And like, you know, yeah. And like, there's a part of me that still feels like a 16-year-old boy, even though I'm a 35-year-old man. Mm-hmm. And there's this 20-year-old girl who is, yeah, literally showing everything, being over the top flirtatious to me. It was so awkward. And to your point, like, as a person, as a man who has tried not to become a total creep in life, when I see a scantily clad person, you know, whether it is at the beach or any other scenario, right? Like, my eyes have been trained not to look, right? Like, I look at every other part but the boobies, right? And so the fact that, like, I had to be there in it clearly, like, the clear everything is about this, including like her, is the expectation is I'm supposed to be staring at her. It felt so weird, you know, like it felt invasive, but it was just the most bizarre. And this is probably because I've never been to a strip club or anything. Like, none of this is an experience I've ever had. It was just so awkward.
This, I have like the biggest smile on my face because really this is so entertaining.
Yeah, I thought you'd like this.
And I know last time we talked about your aphantasia and how you can't visualize things, but what's making this so satisfying is I can literally visualize like your face and imagining an like attractive woman and like I'm imagining it. And so it is A+.
I mean, yeah, she was a nice looking person, but it's like I would turn to talk to her and my eyeballs were doing everything they could to run away from like looking anywhere down past her eye line, right?
Well, then it's also awkward too, because I think if they're being super flirtatious and they're looking at you, if you look, I mean, it's going to be so obvious if you look down at their boobs, especially at that angle and that proximity.
Yeah, and it's not just the, like,
it's everything.
It's everything.
Everything. Yeah. But like, it's going to be so obvious if you look. And so if you look and then look back up, it feels, that's awkward. That's awkward because you've just averted your gaze. But if you don't look back up, that's fucking creepy. So yeah. It's just like,
but then you're not staring. But it's also
do?
The expectation, right? Like she knows that's why people are there.
That's true.
Right? Like,
but
internally, it still feels weird and wrong and invasive.
And I also think like, as like sex workers would say, there's also a line, right? Where, you know, yes, they're doing it willingly, right? And they're happy to be in the work, but they can also just sense. And I'm curious where that like line is when it's not something so egregious, but just in terms of the looking.
Oh, we have this covered. Don't worry. We'll talk about this stuff. But yeah, it was just a very strange experience. The other thing too was like, so it's this weird scenario where I'm there basically supposed to be there to look at a naked 20-year-old girl. And at the same time, and she's playing it up like flirtatiously, clearly like that's the model of what's happening here. But at the same time, it's still a coffee shop and she was still a stressed barista because the woman in front, that like the woman who had taken a while. Apparently she ordered like half a dozen bagels, which by the way, I didn't know these places serve food. So she's running around throughout, like trying to be flirtatious, clearly like knowing that, like, and like, I'm not going to say she, like, I can't speak for what was going on internally, but I'm pretty sure she was like walking and moving in certain ways to like,
show things off. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Like, and also these are, I mean, it is stressful in food service, right? Especially if you're alone, but these are like usually like little shanties. It's usually like a one person shop. So yeah. There's no one helping you.
No,
it's just, so yeah, six
so,
bagels.
So the other, so the off. Woman is waiting for her bagel still. She, I guess, kicked her so that I could get my order in too. So she's running out trying to make me a second hot chocolate now while like preparing these bagels for this woman and trying to be flirtatious to probably earn whatever tip, you know, I'm prepared to give her. By the way, the hot cocoa was twice as expensive. It was more than, it was $7 for a tall hot cocoa.
That's three times as expensive.
Sorry. Yeah. Three times. And it was half as good. Like, it was like Hershey's cocoa powder. Like,
you want to know why? Because that's not how they're making most of their
money. I'm aware. Yeah. It was very strange, but I'm glad I got to have that experience, I guess.
I'm glad you did too, Jordan.
And I'm glad everyone on the internet now gets to hear it. But we can talk about kind of that line about where the line of sex work falls.
Right.
So Lisa Wade is a assistant professor at Tulane University. She has appointments in sociology, gender, sexual studies. She also has a PhD in sociology. And she has a good article about bikini baristas and sex workers. And basically she asked the question, is there really a clean cut difference between work and sex work? And is sex work always sexual? Are all other jobs therefore asexual? Where do we draw the line? Can we draw a line? Should we? So it's really,
she got really meta about it.
Yeah, but it's a really interesting article because, I mean, even what you were talking about earlier with your restaurant experience is that there was probably sexual overtones just in terms of the people you were speaking to from who were flirting with you from a customer perspective or the staff and how they were interacting, right?
But it's also not like the explicit intention.
Right. So there, I'm not saying that there is, that's the same, but this is kind of her point is like, where is that line?
Right, there is a line and yeah, it does bleed into each other.
Yeah. And so she kind of brings in a couple different perspectives. So one person is Mike Fagan, who is, you may have heard this name because we're from this area. He is a councilman from Spokane, where there's also a lot of bikini baristas east side of our mountains. And as a politician, he says, you know, he's very pro-regulation of these stands. And so he says, quote, "In my mind, we're talking adult entertainment. We don't want to shut down the stands. We want to say, look, you either put the bikinis back on," because a lot of them are not even wearing the bikinis, right? "You either put the bikinis back on or move your business to an appropriately zoned area." So his perspective is...
meaning like not by a school or what?
I'm going to guess like a red light district, right? Like if you're already going to have strip clubs, put them next to there or something like that.
Yeah, because I don't know if you'll get to this, but some, not all, but there is... some of them do double as a front and sex work does happen for like truckers or people like... yes. There are some that actually turn into actual sexual exchanges.
Yeah, and that has definitely been... there's been a lot of incidents of that, especially up here where I live now, Snohomish County. There have been arrests for prostitution. There has been accusations of entrapment by the police when they were able to catch on video women offering things for money, basically.
Well-spent resource dollars. Who gives a fuck?
Right, because the cops weren't definitely masturbating while this was happening.
Oh, no, honey.
they did have, yeah, surveillance videos catching baristas doing sexual acts for cash. Everett, the city kind of north of Seattle, that Snohomish is the biggest city in Snohomish County. They actually passed a dress code ordinance to prevent bikini barista stands years ago. The U.S. District Court found it unconstitutionally vague because it violated the freedom of expression under the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. Basically, it said the ordinance only applied to women.
Yeah. And it's also like, if you can wear a bikini at the beach, why can't you wear it in your own private business?
Right. So, but to your point, generally speaking, yes, I think it is not uncommon that a lot of these stands have women and or patrons who are engaging in extracurricular activities, right? Let's just say it that way. And actually at the stand I did visit, there was a big sign that said, you know, something like no extras. There are no other items on the menu. Like, it's basically right. saying you can't ask
don't
for more
solicit
things.
Me yeah. for prostitution.
It also had, you know, I was going to take, so this is where I was going to take a picture because I was like, of the sign.
Not of her, yeah.
Right, right. But that, I started to take my phone and like, oh, wait a minute. Because like, I don't want her to see me taking my phone camera out and like pointing it towards the window, right? So that was the whole, I'm not going to record any of this. Yeah. But yeah, so who knows how, like, to me, those signs are, you're going to put them up whether or not you're offering
right
services,
I'm
right?
I'm sure they like, literally, as you know, as you've been talking and you said there's one close by, I put into Google Maps, Bikini Barista, like a ton of
job
results.
Application.
I a ton of results, narrowed it down to the ones that are open now, which it's like 11 PM on a weeknight.
Yeah.
This isn't recorded in real time. And, you narrow that down and it's all the like 3.8 star ones.
And,
yep.
And they're all off the like the highway.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And like if you're open 24 hours and you have 3.8 stars, you're probably giving blowjobs.
Or at the very least, you're letting customers sit in their car masturbating while you do things sexually for them to watch in front of them, right?
Like, oh, like just stripping. You think like even not, maybe not engaging sexually, but more intentional stripping and they can jerk off kind of thing?
I think that, so... I will, so I'm jumping ahead, but I'll go to it right now, is if you find the seedier parts of Reddit, where a lot of, that is something that there is a group of men who frequent these places, and they apparently, I didn't pick up all their code words for this shit, but like that is essentially, yeah, they talk to each other about what's on these girls' menus, right?
Okay.
And things
that's
like that.
So, like,
yeah.
See, it's weird because I'm definitely pro in favor of sex work.
But it's the dons. Yeah.
Well, it's the people who kind of, again, the extremists on the other end of just like, all right, I want to go to strip club or I'm sexually open, whatever. It doesn't like that I'm cool with. But then you get into like guys who are rank. There's like that aspect of.
Yeah,
it feels gross.
When you're creating a Yelp for it, like on Reddit.
You're rating women and talking about the services. If you have code words for it, like that to me is over the line of weird.
Right. And obviously their intent is to not get picked up by censors or law enforcement who's scouring the internet or whatever it might be. But it's, I don't know how effective it is. I found it pretty easily, right? Like, so there's a dark underside to this, right? Like,
for sure.
It's, I found most of this funny and entertaining, and especially because, you know, I'm, again, a 35-year-old man who's never been to strip club, and so this was a very awkward experience for me, but, like, but, yeah, there is this kind of, like, underground prostitution aspect to it that definitely exists. And, like, I think beyond, like, even those places that you're talking about that are open all night, for example, like, there's this one in Soto, which is an industrial district south of Seattle, or in Seattle, but south of the downtown, and... there's this Bikini Barista stand there that I just drive by all the time just because it was on my way in and out of Seattle. And every single time I drove by it, there was a different, incredibly expensive car parked for whatever barista, like whatever barista was there, right? Like I've seen like really nice Beamers. I've seen Mercedes G-Classes. I've seen a plasti-dipped pink Tesla Model S.
Jesus.
Like these are $150,000+ cars. These girls are not getting it just from normal. Like, even if they're making incredibly good tips, it's not
enough
that
to
good.
Buy. Yeah, 100%.
You know what I mean? So, right. So it's super interesting. And there's always like a line of cars for those ones. And weirdly, the cops don't seem to care. But where was I? So Mike Fagan, sports regulation. On the other hand, business owners, in her article, Lisa talks about business owners who are generally against regulation, as you can imagine. They don't want their stands regulated. They don't want to have to relocate their businesses to an appropriately zoned area, which generally means skeezy corners of the city where strip clubs are and so forth. And one business owner even went so far as to explain her girls are, quote, just selling coffee. And if her girls want to wear a bikini when they do, who's to say that they shouldn't?
Fair.
Yeah. And then sex worker advocates, mm-hmm. right? She invites their perspective as well. So Savannah Sly, who is a representative of the Seattle Sex Workers Outreach Project, argues that bikini baristas are sex workers.
I would say so. Like, is there an argument that they aren't?
Well, yeah, and I'll get to it. But Savannah says, because their work involves using sexual appeal, because they may be stigmatized or their place of employment scrutinized due to the erotic nature of their work, I deem it worthy of the label of sex work.
100%. Because that's what I'm thinking of. Like, it to me, it doesn't mean you're having sex or doing a sexual act necessarily, but there's clearly an erotic aspect to it, right? That's the whole point. It doesn't mean you're doing anything.
When you're selling your underwear, you're not having sex with somebody, but it's still sex work.
Yeah.
I agree. What Lisa argues, or not, like, she doesn't, I don't
Who's
know
that
Lisa? She, Lisa Wade, the writer of this article, is like, she brings these perspectives together. So she kind of summarizes and gives her thoughts. And what she says is, the truth is that the things involved with sex work, emotional vulnerability, intimacy, emotional manipulation, physical contact, health risks, and moral opprobrium all characterize at least some other jobs too. So the only thing that separates work from sex work is sex. And this might sound weird, but I don't really think that sex is the thing that lines can be drawn around. Is penile vaginal intercourse sex? Is oral sex? Is manual stimulation of the genitals? Is making out? Is kissing? Is thinking about kissing? Would you offer different answers if I asked if those things were sexual? Would you answer differently if the question wasn't about what counted as sex, but what counted as abstinence? Is the penis a sexual body part? The clitoris, the anus, the breast, the inner thigh, the back of one's knee, the back of one's neck? How do you decide who gets to? So basically, I think she's being a little bit...
She's like, clearly trying to play devil's advocate and kind of bring in... Just make people think.
Yeah, exactly. I think she's trying to make people think, because what she then uses the article to argue is that to some degree, whether it's sex work or not, or whatever you define sex work as, doesn't fucking matter. Because from her perspective, the needs of the employees remain the same, which is, from her perspective, strong minimum wage, protection from harassment, sick days, benefits, predictable scheduling, et cetera, right?
Yeah, 100%.
So that was kind of like the most interesting article I found about kind of the boundaries of sex work. But there's a lot of articles from the baristas themselves. And I think most baristas would consider themselves sex workers, right? But they, you know, it's about like the self-respect that they have, or the enjoyment, or even the weird, terrible parts of the job.
Yeah.
So on that sense, we touched on a little bit when we mentioned Hooters, but, you know, the idea of sexuality in the food service predates bikini baristas for a long time, right?
Yes.
You know, you had Playboy clubs in the 1960s to the 1990s with cocktail waitresses that had their little bunny ears and spilling out of corsets, right?
Yep.
You had Hooters.
The Greeks were banging each other way back when.
Right.
Like, I mean, sex has always been a part of every society. And there's always this portion of people who want to suppress it, or, like, you know, we stigmatize it and make it seem like there's a bad association attached to it. And you just look back at the history of, like, humanity, though, and sexuality is, like, such a key part of who people are. Like, some people are asexual, but by and large, people have a sex drive. And at the end of the day, people are going to have sex, and that's a natural part of being a human, and it's going to manifest itself in society in one way, shape, or form.
Yeah. I mean, we wouldn't be having this podcast if literally every one of our ancestors hadn't boned at some point, right?
Like, thanks for that, Jordan. Yeah.
But, you know, I in this research, like, I did come across some of the other, like, other society versions of this, right? So, like, in Taiwan, young women would sell betel nuts and I don't know what betel nuts are, but betel nuts and cigarettes from brightly lit glass enclosures while they wore revealing clothing. And this happened, this started in the 1960s. In Japan, the land of very different sexual traditions, let's say.
Yes.
In Japan, there's something called no pan kissa. I'm not pronouncing that right, but literally means no panty coffee shop. This started in the 1980s, where basically the waitresses would wear short skirts with no panties.
What? When I went to Japan, my friend took me to a hedgehog cafe. Why didn't we go there?
You missed out. I don't know how some, like, it apparently didn't last very long as a fad, but supposedly similar things now exist today.
Hmm. For what it's worth, not the part I would truly be the most interested in seeing. I don't think that's...
You're not as interested in the vagina?
No.
You're more of a titty girl?
Ass and titties. But, like, there's something weird about... I don't know, bodies, yes, sexual. I don't know, something about...
What do you think is weirder to look at? The vulva or the penis?
Well, I would say, for me, it'd probably be the vulva, just because I haven't been up close to one.
Mm, that's fair.
But... I remember having this conversation, like, way back when, was that, like, a group of friends and guys said like vaginas are scary because you like they
hide things.
They hide things. Yeah, it's like where like,
I'm watching you do this. I'm watching you do this like. Like, Jack Nicholson peeking out. here's Johnny style.
Like, yeah, like I'm crawling into a space.
Jesus, now you've made vaginas creepy for me forever.
But penises, they're just out there, man.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Penises can be pretty scary, though. In the right context, a penis is the most beautiful thing a woman can ever see. Michael Scott.
So I want to relay a couple stories of people who actually work these stands now, because you know they're the ones on the front lines. They're what you could have been someone I was interviewing for this.
You could have been. Did you interview these people?
No, I meant because you could have been a bikini barista. There isn't really a male. There actually was a male version of this.
I know. In Capitol Hill, yeah. They had like the
Dream Boys Espresso is what it was called.
But it closed down during COVID, and
yeah,
I don't think
it was ever that popular. Though.
I never got to see it. I was really upset.
Yeah, I don't think there's the same appetite, even though I think gay men would probably be the more common, especially Capitol Hill, probably frequented it more than women.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's probably like there'd be more a demand from gay men than straight women. But the reason I think that isn't because the desire is less, but because the stigma is higher for women seeking out that kind of sex work from men as opposed to vice versa. That is my theory and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Well, I hope you're right. I hope women find men attractive.
Well, so, like it's, I mean, yeah. I don't think it's a difference in actual like desire or interest. I really think it's a societal cultural thing.
Yeah. Did you ever watch that show on HBO, Hung?
Nope.
Yeah. It wasn't that good. But it kind of played into that. It was about a man with a large penis.
Oh, nice.
Who decided to become a gigolo.
Nice.
And basically his interactions with women who would hire a man for prostitution, right? And yep. So it kind of played into that from a sociological perspective, I guess, and disrupting the norms. But I agree with you overall, and I wouldn't recommend watching the show.
And I guess the last thing I'll say, beyond it being societally like more normal for men, I think part of the reason it's more normal for men is because women, by and large, are better socialized to be in touch with their emotions so that they can communicate. And I think with that comes a lot of other satisfaction in life and fulfillment because they're, again, by and large, more able to identify and manage and be in touch with some of their emotions, whereas men aren't. So they have to seek out these different outlets.
Yeah, that is definitely something that recurs. And I think this is very similar to what we talked about with cuddle therapists.
Yeah.
That one thing you hear in a lot of these stories from the baristas themselves is that, I mean, there's definitely men, and we'll talk about some of the creepier ones, right? Or just there for the visuals, but there's a lot of men who are there because it seems like they're lonely.
Yes.
Right. And beyond, you know, visiting a pretty woman when you're lonely, it's the fact that these stands are clearly guaranteed
attention.
Yeah. And geared around their job is appearing interested in the customer.
Yeah.
More so than a normal, even like restaurant person, right?
And even if it's, even though it's sexual in nature and erotic in nature, I think, again, it just goes back to the fundamental, like if they don't have friends, like women might not need as much of that sexual fulfillment because they have more enriched friend right. lives and like men.
Let's hope so.
Men, again, I'm generalizing, but by and large, societally, like more likely to be like the lone wolf type of person and like keep to themselves and maybe not have any type of emotional outlet. And it's that reinforcement of human contact and someone acknowledging you and liking you, especially if you're like a social outcast.
Until we become mass murderers. But yes,
yeah,
I
was
going to
say this is a trick, slippery slope here.
Yeah, absolutely. So Sarah Burnell is the owner of Devil's Brew Stands, along with other bikini and non-bikini coffee kiosks, actually, in Eastern Washington. She's an ex-con who got a second chance when her former boss basically offered her an opportunity to buy his coffee stand. She said, I have a history of getting in trouble, so I couldn't get a job. This opportunity came up that was really amazing. And this was speaking of her first coffee stand where baristas wore their clothes. But then Spokane had their first bikini stand open and she started thinking of opening one herself. And she said, I'm sitting here looking at this and I'm like, I could do that business. I could just do what I'm doing now. But just throw girls in there dressed in that way and it will just blow up. I was begging my husband to let me open this and he's like, no way. She did it anyways. And she said that she's just selling coffee, and the girls who want to work there should be able to do that in a bikini if they choose to. Quote, it's a different thing when people are on drugs or they're being abused or there's someone that's making them do these sexual things to get attention or because they have to. When a woman is actually saying, you know what? I'm going to make money. I'm going to go make money with what I've got. How is that not empowering?
100%.
So that's kind of the characteristic story that you hear from, especially from the owners, which I was surprised by this, but the majority of the owners are women. Let me rephrase that. The majority of the owners from an anecdotal perspective are women. I don't have the actual statistics, but at least the people being interviewed are women. Now, maybe that's just because the women are willing to talk, but it seems like a lot of them, especially because there's usually one person running multiple stands.
And if I were to wager a guess, I would say there's a higher likelihood that the ones women are running are above board.
Probably.
That's higher likelihood. True. So,
yeah, I think that's probably a fair assumption. So let's talk about Tammy. So Tammy works at Devil's Brew Coffee. Today is Wednesday. In the article, they say today is Wednesday. And on Wednesdays at Devil Brews Coffee, quote, we wear pink, she says, like Mean Girls. She's wearing a bubblegum pink halter top bra with scalloped edges and lacy magenta underwear that makes little effort to cover her butt cheeks. Wednesdays can be a little slow. After all, they're when the dress code of Devil's Brew is most conservative. Tuesdays and Thursdays, though, are topless.
Nice.
Which means
topless Tuesdays.
Yep, which she'll wear pasties and a thong as she works. On those days, the line of jacked up trucks will be out to the street.
Question. They can't be full nude. Does it have to be pasties if it's the bikini's off?
So what I found in my research is that often girls will be full nude.
Okay. But
whether health code or other regulations require them to at least cover their nipples, it's unclear. But again, like it's so vague of like what the rule is. It's the one I went to, and again, this was 8 a.m. on like a Tuesday. So I'm
topless Tuesday.
Right. But I'm also assuming like not prime jack off experience or whatever. It's like,
that's where you'd be wrong.
Yeah, that's fair. What I'm trying to say is like, she had a very thin string bikini on, basically top and bottom. But here's the thing, like I've seen women as scantily clad at that on beaches in Hawaii or Florida. Right. So it wasn't like she was in a complete state of like nudity in the way like sometimes I've read in these stories, but it does sound like in some of these places, depending on the time of day, depending on the location, the women are basically wearing nothing or are literally wearing nothing. So Tammy is an ex-Washington State sorority girl. She lives with her Mormon parents. Another Mormon episode.
Amazing. Do her parents know?
Yes. So she said, quote, one guy last week was like, does your mom know you wear these clothes? And she said, I was like, my mom comes here every morning. That's no joke. At exactly 8 a.m. the day that she's there, her mom pulls up to the window. And as she drives away, Tammy always says, love you, mom.
I am conflicted. Okay. I'm taking that in. Okie dokie. That is non-traditional.
Yeah.
I'm not conflicted. I am just...
You're trying to imagine your mom showing up to
I was not imagining that.
Well,
nope.
Now, if I put this image in your head...
Nope. Get it out of there.
So Tammy goes on to say, like, she's sick of hearing people complain about her job, especially because, you know, to quote her, there's Victoria's Secret ads that the outfits generally are wearing as little as she is in public. She loves it. She loves the job in general, whether or not she's wearing a bikini, because she feels like she's an expert from a barista standpoint. She says over the course of 5 hours, she asks just three people what their drink order is because she knows everyone else's orders, right? Like it's become kind of this routine for her and she really likes it. She calls a little girl in the passenger seat of one car that drives by a princess and asks if the little girl wants extra sprinkles, which yes, again, I cannot imagine intentionally bringing a child.
So yeah, that's kind of weird. Yeah. Like that's a little weird to me.
She gets Christmas cards and cookies. And she makes, quote, good money, whatever that means.
I would imagine.
On the other hand, for Tammy, she, quote, one of my friends said, you need to have respect for yourself. I was like, I do have respect for myself. I almost get offended. Just because I work here doesn't mean I don't respect myself. It's an insult. People just don't understand.
Yeah. And I think that's a very common criticism of sex work, right? Yeah. Like you feel like women don't respect themselves, and I'm sure there's a subset of women who don't, and like maybe that's how they get into it under bad circumstances. But I think by and large, again, you're looking at people doing this consensually and are empowered. And yeah. Again, it's just like presumptuous to assume someone doesn't, you know, respect themselves.
Yeah, I agree. And Tammy seems very like not ashamed. That said, she also says her boyfriend only knows she works at a coffee shop, not at a bikini barista stand specifically.
Well, how long have they been dating?
I don't know. The article doesn't say that. Yeah.
Tammy, you got to tell him.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, how weird is it going to be when he fucking pulls up one day?
Yeah. Who do you think's more upset in that scenario?
Yeah, that's a good question. Sounds like she wouldn't be on. I bet she wouldn't
probably
care.
Yeah, because she probably doesn't see it. Yeah.
He would be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, he would probably, he might be surprised. Yeah. So there's Grace Morris, who is a 20-year-old bikini barista in Lacey, Washington. She actually just wrote an op-ed. I think it looks like it was published like last week in Business Insider. I'm just going to quote from the article off and on here because, again, it's her first-person account. She said, "During my first week, a customer drove up and I quickly realized he was masturbating at the window. I was terrified and he wouldn't leave until he saw me reach for the panic button and sped off.
Gross.
I even had a stalker at one point and had to get a restraining order."
There's a panic button?
So that's what I learned too. Most of these stands, or maybe all of them, but most of these stands have a panic button that they can press that I think probably securely locks things as well as immediately calls the police.
Yeah, that's yeah. super
because
shitty.
Because again, to your point, it's not like there's even a bouncer like a strip club.
Yeah, that's
it's
like
them alone in a little wood shack.
Well, pretty, yeah, high vulnerability there.
Yeah, especially these 24-hour ones, 3 a.m. off a CD highway, right?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. So she started working at Pink Sugar Espresso about a year ago. And she said for the first 5 months, only two of her friends knew about it. She had worked at a coffee shop before and hated, I can guess which coffee shop in the area she'd worked at previously. It was, she said the previous place she worked was overcrowded. The dress code was strict. The customers were always grouchy. So she decided to try being a bikini barista instead. The interview process was with her current manager, a woman. She and almost everyone else in charge are all women, which I love. The process was basically a tryout. You have to take off your clothes and have your lingerie ready underneath. They want to see if you can act super bubbly and talk to the customers in your underwear without acting nervous or shy.
Okay, fair enough.
I guess. Still kind of, I don't know. It has like porn vibes to me, kind of. You know, like not in a good way.
Yeah, no, yeah, any other interview, you just interview based on like a skill set, right? You probably, yeah. Like, it's very rare.
I get that this is the skill, but it's kind of a weird, I don't know.
But I'm thinking there are just certain jobs you like quote unquote audition for, and that's probably one of them. I mean, it yeah. makes sense.
Yeah, I guess so. She says, you know, you have to have the confidence of a mile. You have to have the confidence of a model. You have to have nails, hair, and makeup runway ready at all times. Every day has a different theme. So Military Monday, Topless Tuesday, we talked about this. And she says they wear pasties, Pink Wednesday, etc. And she does call out what I found out to be very true, as I mentioned, that the prices are higher than a normal coffee shop.
Yes.
She says a 16-ounce latte will run you about $7.50. And Lacey is, for those again not in the area, is further removed. It's more rural.
Middle of fucking nowhere, yeah. Where it should not be $7.50.
Yeah. So like in Seattle, I'm imagining that's probably a $10 16-ounce latte.
Mm-hmm.
She says some customers complain that it's too expensive, but at the end of the day, you're not paying for the coffee. You're paying for great conversation with a beautiful woman. Good for you.
Is that what you're paying for?
Good for you, Grace.
Or are you paying to look at a beautiful woman and yeah. be praised?
She goes on and she says, we always have a line of cars, especially on weekdays during the commuter rush. I've had my friends' dads come to the stand, old teachers, police officers, couple, and even men who belong to a well-known church in the area.
Oh, dear.
Now you, this is where I start going.
This is like, where it gets uncomfortable.
Yeah, positive sex worker stories. And then, oh, but your friend's dad.
Yeah. I mean, but that's not on them, right? Like, it's, no, but yeah, that's where it gets awkward and yeah. like, ugh. It's uncomfortable.
It starts being, yeah, gross. So I think I mentioned earlier about like the money it seems these baristas are making. So she gives a budget of what she's making. So she says, I work 5 to 7 hours a day, 5 days a week. Not a bad work life balance.
No.
I make the minimum wage in Washington, which is around $14 an hour, or at least at the time she wrote this, but that's not true. So
isn't it? It hasn't been stair stepped to 15, has it?
Oh, maybe it was true. Okay. I'm thinking Seattle then. Yeah. 14 might be right.
Yeah.
So she says around 14 an hour, she makes minimum wage, but the real money comes from tips. On a good day, let me pause here. When you were a hostess, what was a good day of tips? Do you have an idea?
Hostesses didn't really make tips.
Okay.
So like $10 would be a great day of tips for me.
Okay.
I got tipped out from the servers.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay. So she says on a good day, I'll make $700 to $800 in tips.
What's a bad day?
I don't know. But she said at the regular coffee shop she worked at, she'd take home $20. So in comparison.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. In comparison.
Yeah. And again, she's very clear that she's not doing anything sexually explicit. She's just in a bikini, being flirty, whatever else, but not. She's not getting extra money for extras, right?
Right.
But more than that, she also says customers have paid for her groceries, her furniture, her rent. Her coworker and her got a full trip to Hawaii, all expenses paid. And another girl got her car payments taken care of. She said she's never done this personally, but she knows girls who have sent Amazon wish lists and have gotten everything on them bought for them. It just depends on what you're comfortable accepting.
I was going to say, so I'm on my phone trying to do the math there, and damn, that's a lot of money. And it does, yeah, it does go beyond it because there's no like short way to get to the story, I guess, but I'll just jump there. My ex dated a stripper, so naturally that piqued a curiosity in the stripper. And so I found her like on social media.
Sure.
And
you stalked your ex. Your ex's ex.
Ex's ex. But she had a blog about stripping, and she also had an Amazon wish list. So again, it's like diversifying your income streams. People would buy shit because you build the quote unquote relationships, and
it's still weird to me. Like I don't have a problem with them receiving it,
but again, the buying gets
what a
weird.
Weird
like, why?
Yeah, yeah. Like what are you getting out of that?
It's weird.
Yeah, I think it's bizarre. I would. It's very clear to me that many of these girls, partly clear because it was very explicitly shown to me on Reddit, but also like even just having visited the bikini stand, it's very clear that like a lot of these girls are making money on the side too, as only like OnlyFans accounts, right?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, this is
and
your
you
chance to see them in person. Yeah. And cross
vice versa. Yep. Yeah.
Yep. And I was like going to ask her, because again, I'm literally trying to approach this as a professional, journalistic integrity.
Sure.
And I get there and it's in a completely awkward situation. Like, I am not going to ask this girl if she has an OnlyFans or even like whatever subtle way I could think to do that. Like, hey, is there another way to see you outside of that? Right. Like whatever like code I should have used. I was like, I can't do this. Like, I'm just going to take, I took my hot cocoa and I left. It's like, thanks. Have a good day.
Like a bitch.
Yeah.
That kind of gave me a grand idea. I've told you.
Oh no.
I think I've told you like, not the only reason, but a big reason I haven't done an OnlyFans just for like my feet or something, weird, like, you know, easy money, whatever.
Yeah. We should do one of my feet and just tell them it's yours. my hairy hobbit toes.
That would be amazing.
Are you into like women with hairy toes? Honestly, I bet there is a segment
for
that.
I'm sure
there
are.
Yeah, that's a niche we could tap into. Sorry, go ahead though.
But I think like, is just the idea of advertising it. Like I wouldn't mind doing it, but you would have to build up a social network. And obviously
then
I'm not going to fucking tell my friends like, hey guys, check me out on
OnlyFans.
You
would tell me though, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. And, so now I know I go work at a bikini barista stand and that's where I build my
social
regulars.
Yeah.
And honestly, shit, I got to do this in the next couple of years though. I'm kind of getting past the peak of people of the age people want to see people
just,
in bikinis.
Now you're a MILF because you're anything over 25. So.
No, I'm a cougar.
Well, if you say so. You know, she goes on to say that like she doesn't feel that she or her coworkers are trying to take advantage of the men who offer it, but it's kind of just part of the job. And they're gonna keep getting the offers whether or not they accept or decline them, right?
Mm-hmm.
She then goes on. She went on to like create a TikTok, right? And so not an OnlyFans necessarily, but the TikTok was again a way of making social attention, and that helped her build 338,000 followers, which led to brand deals and you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I'm telling you, we need to get on TikTok.
Tip top. I will join the British version.
Top cheerio.
She does go on to talk about, though, too, beyond like the creepy dad stuff, right, is that she does get customers that ask her to take her top off or
no, to top off the coffee,
top off the coffee. It's too. Yeah. Can you let it cool? No, customers ask her to take her top off or offer $20 if she'll make the drink completely naked and things like that, which She says, you know, we don't do that here. But again, that implies to me that these people are finding places that will do that.
For sure. Yes. Right?
She said people have grabbed her hand and joked about pulling her into the car.
Gross.
Things she doesn't feel comfortable with. Yeah. And there are definitely times where she feels like unsafe.
Yeah.
And where she wishes she didn't work alone. Yeah.
Ugh. It's upsetting because I think, you know, people are, you know, you find the people like they're doing it under their own volition, feeling empowered by it. But then there are the people who want to take advantage of that. And for some reason, like literally think that's an excuse to treat a woman as an object. Like, you know, the gross behavior, like joking about pulling her into a car. Gross. Yep.
Well, and it goes beyond that. And then you get to those our lone wolf men. Right. But like people who are whatever the fuck is going on with them are going to take it out on these women. So she talks about that. There are stands in Tacoma, south of Seattle, that have been robbed at gunpoint. There was a specific story where a man pulled up just to shoot the girl in the stand and then drive away. She actually did not, I think she didn't get hit. She shut the window and hit the panic button. But again, like you, for whatever reason, you cross this line into something that seems like morally or legally gray, I should say, morally gray.
Well maybe some people would call it morally
gray. But at minimum legally gray, and that invites a whole separate kind of audience to it too, right?
Can we end this on a more positive note?
Yeah, and so I will. I think the last like bad thing I would say that she says is, you know, or not bad thing, but she, you know, she knows, she says very specifically, my job is to be sexualized in adult outfits. I know I'm going to be in lingerie around lots of older men who don't have a filter. So I understand that I'm putting myself in a position that will attract these comments. But she goes on to say, here's the positive part. She loves her job because she has control over what happens. She gets to own her sexuality. And if a customer says something disgusting, she can laugh it off. She can roll her eyes. She can crack a joke. Or she can just shut them down and tell them to fuck off. Right?
Yeah.
And that being a bikini barista has given her a kind of confidence that she's never had before. It teaches her how to handle uncomfortable situations and take control of situations when they're not going your way, especially with men. And then finally she says, this wraps up and gets right back to the patron side of this. But when it comes down to it, a lot of the customers are just lonely and want someone to talk to. We're great conversationalists and it keeps customers coming back because they genuinely enjoy us as people.
No, 100%. And I think as you were describing that, I was like, I think sex work does build a lot of confidence in people. That's exactly what I was thinking as you're telling that. And I think, yeah, you do have a license in that situation because you're being sexualized. You also know that's the point of why people are coming, but you also know explicitly there's a line they can't cross. So I worked at an upscale restaurant. Granted, you know, people could harass me. Like, I couldn't tell someone to fuck off.
Right.
You can in that situation. It's a weird.
Yeah. You almost have more power.
You have more power because you're in a more extreme situation. So anyway, I can totally see that.
And that's Bikini Baristas. If you want to open a Bikini Barista stand, but actually only serve hot cocoa and not coffee, because I don't drink coffee, let me know. I will be your first customer. You can find us on Instagram at Subsecurity Podcast. Our website is subsecurity.com. You can email us directly at subsecurity@gmail.com, and maybe we'll be on TikTok at some point. Our intro and outro music is the instrumental of We're Better Together by Gil Mordecai. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.